crazy. Okay, Jay, let's go. Jason and OC podcast.
Yeah.
Jason, OC, and Jack.
Yes.
Welcome to the Jason. I'm beginning this. Welcome to the Jason, OC. No, welcome to the Jason, OC, and Jack podcast. How you feeling, bro?
Good, bro. Good.
Jay Bell?
I love it, man. I like that intro. It's too good, though. So that's the last one because the people are going to want to hear you introing
Got
from
you.
Now on because it's too good. I always give all full credentials. 11 years in the NFL. Very hard to do. Three teams, right?
Four. Four teams. Raiders, Cowboys, Falcons, Titans.
Bam. Oh, yeah. Yep. Four teams. It's very hard. We have two people here that played 10-plus years.
Generals. You're a general. You're 10 years, you're general.
All we want is a guy who didn't play 10 years. Man, that is like, that's it. If you get that, like, you get treated different.
Like,
people talk about you differently within the industry.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
You could be at 9 years, and it doesn't have the same, ring.
No.
That was the case with me. I wanted to retire in my ninth year, and I told my agent, man, I said, man, I'm done. Like, it wasn't that I'd lost my love for the game. It was just that my body was taking longer and longer to recover for the following year. And moving from a program to a new program, you don't get any of that leeway saying, you know the program. You come in, do what you got to do. It, for me, it was like I would have to go to a new club, learn a new program, learn a new playbook. For me, I was like, I can't go through that mentally again. I got to move on. And then my agent was like, well, you got calls on the table, people who want you to come in. He goes, just add it. He goes, just take the money and this will be closure. And he goes, 10 sounds better than 9.
And you're like, wanna
say 10. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I have to go. Because 10, to say 9, it's like, oh, bro, that's a hell of a career. When you say 10, people are like,
oh, okay.
Welcome to the club.
Okay. Decade. Yeah. Really?
Decade.
Which is difficult.
Yeah.
Doing a live broadcast with us, OC.
Yeah, he is. With Darren Fletcher.
Yep. Up in the
Jason,
booth.
Jason, myself, Laura. Yeah. That's going to be cool.
I feel like a rookie in this world, bro. Like, I never had the appreciation for what you guys do with the broadcast, the coverage, the show, the podcast. Stuff like that, you think as a player, like, I could talk about football.
Yeah.
I know this. And then the camera's on your face, and you're like, I don't know. Like, either you're trying to translate what you know, and it's a different game.
You've done a Super Bowl, though.
Yeah, I was like, first of all, you're not on camera.
Okay.
I had three people helping me. Yeah. I had Darren Fletcher, Vernon Kay, and Greg. I had Greg helping me, so thanks, Simon.
I don't know Greg, but I know Vernon and Dan.
Good people. Darren Fletcher, and they're so good at what they do, but they made it so easy for
Vernon, me. Not so much, Darren. No, I'm kidding. Vernon is dope.
No, they're professionals, bro. They made it easy for me. So, I didn't want to go down the broadcast route initially, but I had so much fun doing working with them, and I just felt, you know, it was fun, man. You know, who don't want to go and just kick it with the fellas and just talk and get paid.
Break down ball.
Better than that, bro.
Why didn't you want to go down the broadcast route? Like,
You know what? Couple reasons.
Yeah, some prejudice against the broadcast.
Yes.
Okay.
I did.
Okay.
You know why? Because they play the sports center in the locker room.
Yes.
Every day.
Yes.
And I go and I see some guys who leave the league. And the way they talk about players is like, bro, you forgot how hard this is?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, all of a sudden, now you're criticizing every little thing, like you forgot what it took to actually play this game. It feel like a sellout, like a traitor, and I don't ever want to be that. I'm not going to be that. That's different. Some people do that. That's a different type of character that exists out there. But, you know, for me, my perspective changed because I see that you don't necessarily have to bring guys down. And talking about the game is an art within itself.
Correct.
Yes. It's a game.
Correct. There, you just said it.
Correct.
I see the challenge.
You just said it.
It's like a,
I think it's so easy to attack players when you can't articulate what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
OC and I don't attack players.
No, you don't.
We'll talk about
the situation
was.
Talk about if a team doing bad.
Right.
That's just what it is.
But it's... it's easy to break down what someone's doing wrong, the play, without going at the person.
Yeah.
It's just the easy route. And do you think people do that because they think that's what the viewer wants?
It's not that they do that because they think that's what the viewer wants. Mm. They do that because they know that's what the viewer wants. They know that's what the viewer wants. This is the world we're living in now.
And to add to that point,
that's strong.
It's like, you know how them armchair experts, them Monday morning quarterbacks, are watching like, man, Russell Wilson should have threw the ball. Why would he run that play? Da, da, da. And so it's almost like they want to hear themselves on TV. And it's kind of like some of the big name guys in the States who have taken off. And now they're like the big name guys.
What are they doing?
They don't have no experience in the game. Mm. But they'll just criticize.
Yeah. That's where we're at. That's where we're at in the world right now.
Most people like to see people fail. Yeah. Not most. Let me not say it that way.
Backtrack.
I want to. You know why I backtrack?
You're correct.
But I don't feel like I'm around people like that a lot. But I would. You know, you watch things on TV that make me really like. I'm like, why are we watching this?
Yep.
And people love it.
Yeah.
Stuff that goes viral. It makes me uncomfortable. It's like, why are we celebrating this? Yeah. But yet, people are looking.
Yeah, it's a flaw in human nature. I want to say it's a flaw in human nature.
It's a human nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think to somewhat, it's like it was an argument made about reality TV.
Mm. Yeah,
right. And the reason why people like watching reality TV is watching people's lives fall apart.
Yeah.
And so people get joy out of watching, you know, I don't know, the Love Island or the 90 Day Fiancé situations. And people are like, you know what? My life isn't so bad, actually.
Man.
You know, it's a sense of like, all right, make me feel better.
Mm. It makes them feel better.
Incredible.
Yeah. It's the thing I love about sports. The thing I love about the NFL is every year I get to watch people overcome. I get to watch people succeed. Mm. I get to watch scenarios play out in which someone goes, I told you I could do it.
Mm.
Like, that's the fuel. Like, that's what makes me excited. And that's why we celebrate the Super Bowl.
Yep. That's true. But also, to be honest, if, for instance, Aaron Rodgers, who's coming out here, comes out here, he throws 7 interceptions. He just looks horrible.
And our Giants win?
Yeah. I would be a little.
I ain't gonna lie, bro. I'm gonna go lie.
I knew he wasn't that good.
I know.
Simon don't want no parts of that. Yeah. Look at him.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know what you mean, bro.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are, bro. I know you like watching people overcome. Stuff.
It's different when I'm on the field.
I do too. It just depends on every. It's case by case, bro. And I'm not a hater.
I'm not a hater, right? Case.
Everybody's like, you know, why you want to prey on someone's downfall? I don't prey on someone's downfall. It's just.
But it's case by case.
Yeah.
But it's case by case.
Sometimes.
That's a legit argument. I guarantee you there's one thing nobody here wanted, and it didn't happen. We didn't want a bad game on Sunday, and we did we get?
Okay, yes, yes.
In Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
But it's to our interest. It's in our interest
for
the games out here to be great.
Okay.
You know there was somebody out there who was praying for a bad game.
We want a blowout. We wanted exactly what we got.
On the
edge.
We won.
The entire game. Uh-huh. What's your just thoughts, man? Off the cuff thoughts about the game.
Well, first of all, we got to start with the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Right?
Bro.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, I came out here and I looked and I was listening. I just like chills.
Mm.
Yeah.
Chills. Because I was saying to myself, I was like, we have taken a game outside of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
We brought it to the United Kingdom and it felt outstanding.
Yes.
Just the atmosphere, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's so unique.
Yeah.
And for three guys who have been on the field,
yes,
played everywhere,
yes,
won two Super Bowls, mm, there's nothing I've ever seen like the games here,
like that, yeah,
besides the Super Bowl.
Mm. They are unique.
Who has week-long events,
yeah,
for,
yeah,
a regular season game?
That's a good point.
When you're walking up, it doesn't feel like anywhere I've ever played a game in. A playoff game, once you get on the field, yeah, you're like, you can feel the, it's, yeah, tense, feel, right? Energy. It's like, yep, yep, energy. But everything around it isn't like,
yeah,
that.
Yep.
It's so different.
Let me ask you a question, though, both of you guys, mm, right? So I don't know if you felt this way, but like I was on the sideline down there, and then as they were starting to play the national anthem,
mm-hmm,
and not the English national anthem, the American one, the one I'm used to, I started to get chills, like, yep, you said.
Yep. Yeah.
And do you guys ever get that, like, is it hard to be around the game? Mm. And not,
you're
be
fresh
in
out.
It. I'm fresh out,
yeah,
so that's why
good
I'm
question,
asking you,
yeah,
because I'm so fresh out.
Yep.
I felt a sense of like being a little bit worthless,
yeah,
standing, ooh, there,
I
because I was like, I'm here, I'm on the turf,
yeah,
I'm on the field, and I'm not in there.
Yeah. Mm.
And it's such a weird, like, you know how it was on the field,
man.
Like you're just in a bubble. You block out the fans,
mm-hmm,
immediately,
mm-hmm,
and you're doing your job, but it's like, mm, it's pure. Just competition.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I felt kind of a little bit like
lost almost. Probably.
Yeah, lost and very not like I don't feel like I was contributing,
yeah,
to,
right,
anything happening. But,
yeah,
I could see all of them right here in front of me in that bubble,
yep,
in that world.
Mm.
And I felt like, damn, I kind of miss that.
Yeah.
A little,
yeah,
bit.
I got you.
You know.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever feel that way at all? Like, it's so, you're so close, and bro, especially, yeah, like you won Super Bowls. Bro.
Yeah. I think that for me, I was lucky. I was lucky, and the reason why I say I was lucky is, I retired, and then literally a week after I retired, I was in England, and I was,
yes,
in the,
yes,
office, mm-hmm, like working a regular job. There was no TV show. There was no nothing, right? So, you know, the transition period,
yes,
that a lot of people,
yeah,
I didn't get to.
That's like how I'm in.
Yeah. I didn't get to experience that. I was in a different country. Nobody knew who I was. I was just a regular, you know what I mean? Just a regular Joe. Mm. And so I didn't get to experience that, because when the games came,
yeah,
it was already like,
yeah,
too far away.
Do you feel like part of your reason for moving was to actually
100%,
yeah, get away from
it.
You didn't want to go from that, like, identity crisis.
I didn't want to.
Yeah, you just, you can, I completely understand.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, I can relate to that 100%, because,
yeah,
it's almost out of sight, out of mind.
Yep.
And you can move
exactly
forward in something, and you don't have to be OC Human. You're a,
yeah,
number 72 from the,
yeah,
Giants.
None,
you know, you don't have to be that guy. You're just OC.
Yep.
In London, but you know, he's still doing his thing out here.
That came later. That
came
later.
He had to hide out for a while, a little bit.
I get that.
It's hard being that close.
Yeah.
You know, when I first retired, I was close to football because I was in finance representing players.
Right. Right.
But I wasn't on the field.
Yes.
I didn't have to do what you did.
Yeah.
Now, what I feel is all the positive emotions from when I played.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm down there and I smell the grass, whatever it smells, mm-hmm, like. As soon as I, you know, the turf that it's on now,
yeah,
I think of playing in all the stadiums that had it, or,
mm,
where I practiced.
Right.
When I see the players move around, I go back to, ooh, I remember when Young Jeezy's album came out,
mm,
and I'm rocking it before the game, and everybody's like, you got this new Jeezy, man? This is wild. And you're just like, oh, and I can feel it. Like, I just, it's like I get,
yeah,
this energy, like I'm plugged in to everything they're feeling, except I don't have to play the game,
mm,
yeah,
you know? But now, because we are all involved with the game,
yes,
and it's important to us, we have this vested interest in how it goes down. Like,
yeah,
I'm immediately thinking, I gotta go up and do this game.
Yes.
And I gotta translate what I'm feeling down here,
yep,
and let everybody know how important this is, how amazing, majestic, like,
mm,
give it to me all.
And that's your game.
That's my
your
game. That's,
yeah,
my game now.
Yeah.
So I guess we're still,
nice,
playing the game.
Yeah, in a way.
Yeah,
in a way.
In a way. You're playing the game.
You did it for most of your life, you know?
I'm fascinated with something in regards to you, Jack.
What's that?
I think that obviously I was born here.
Yeah.
Right? I was born in England, but never really like embraced being British, right?
Yeah.
And there are a lot of other players who, you know, maybe an FA or a JHIE.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they're British, but they're really Nigerian, right?
True, man.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you're like properly
English.
English.
Yes. Yep. Yes. See, first of all.
Properly English.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I feel like you haven't been celebrated as being the.
Which camera is this going to?
Proper British.
We got to communicate this message out there.
Best player, basically, ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, proper Brit.
This is being recorded.
It's but it's the truth.
It's the podcast. We speak truth.
Who else? You don't say me. I'm Nigerian. I was born here, but I'm Nigerian.
Where's your mom
from? I'm Nigerian.
Andrew Luck was born here, too.
Yeah.
He's American.
He went to American school.
Correct. The best British player to ever play, but nobody really talks about that. How does that?
Yeah.
It never even crossed your mind? Be honest. Crossed your mind.
I don't think it crosses my mind as much. And, you know, thank you for reminding me that nobody talking about me.
Mm. Nah. We're talking about you now, brother.
No, I'm joking. But it never crossed my mind. Not one second, to be honest with you. Not while I was playing. I was so worried about my job and just being the best I could be. And, you know, one thing that did occur to me, I had a conversation with a friend who was having a tough time. He had a bad game and he called me up. And it's funny, we were saying that, like, and me and Jason could relate. I don't know if you could to this, but about 80% of the league, or 20% of the league, are full of guys who are the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Getting paid. Mm-hmm. And your main focus is winning games.
Mm-hmm.
Helping the team win games.
That's what they pay you for.
20%.
Yep.
The other 80% are worried about survival.
Yep.
Worried about keeping our job.
Yeah.
We know we're replaceable because we're not in that top, whatever, 5 to 8 players on the team where the money's allocated.
Yeah.
I've been in that 80% the majority of my career, to the point where I was so focused on what I was doing that in order to get people to care about what I was doing, I got focused on this more. In order to get anything, to make anything in my life fall into place, this was the answer, was football. It was to get better and better and to make sure that my success was gonna be matched by everything outside of, my success on the field was gonna be matched by everything off the field. It just goes to show how hard this game is because I'm an athlete. I overcame a lot of different obstacles just as far as competition, people I had to beat out to get my opportunities. I was still surviving. I was still fighting for my life.
Mode.
And then you got a guy who I didn't grow up watching, but I learned the game from watching you when I moved to the States and started to understand how the game was played and what position I would be playing. I would look at OCU Manure, who's notorious in the league for his handwork, how he uses his hand over the edge. I used to watch him in the Super Bowl. And I think that, like, just as you said, people don't recognize what I've maybe, you know, accomplished as an Englishman to play the game. People probably don't recognize how hard it is to do what you did and to stand out to that level just because I can appreciate it because I was there every day grinding and I would work on my hands, but it's hard to get sex. Yeah. So it's, bro, it kind of goes both ways. But, you know, when you look back on these things, I always like to look at the glass half full in a sense that I'm fortunate, man. I'm fortunate. All the talk on the outside, if that can build you up, it could also pull you down. Mm-hmm. So I'm fortunate. I got people around me who they love me no matter no matter what.
The thing is, we were talking earlier, and I, you know, because I didn't play 10 plus years, mm-hmm. I was like, man, that's real.
It's still grind.
You said something yeah. earlier. You were focused. I lived the life you did, right?
Right.
You were focused. You made it. And now we do celebrate those
yeah,
things.
Yeah, we're going to celebrate that.
You know what I'm saying?
No, we're going to celebrate you, Jack.
Yeah.
Oh, like, we're going to do that.
If you don't focus on yeah. that, and you did focus on other things and yeah. worried about that, you're not where you are, and you wouldn't have accomplished what you did. So
exactly.
It's just like, hey, man, as much as OC, people talk about him, I make jokes like,
yeah.
he balled and he did what he did. He outworked everybody.
Yes, he did.
Like,
yes.
He was not about that life. Like, he was about balling.
Yeah.
He was about the game. It was that superseded everything else going on.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like it wasn't, I show up, I do this.
Mm.
Everybody else was distracted.
Mm.
You balled. That's why they know your name.
Yeah.
I remember Strahan talking about everything he had going on. And, you know, Stray used to talk to anybody in the locker room. That's what I loved about him. Mm. Like, guys that were getting cut next week, Stray would have a 20-minute conversation. Yeah. You don't see that.
No.
Also, he was in his car. He was gone. Not because he didn't want to talk to you, but he was gone because he was there earlier than everybody. And yeah, I just remember him saying something like, all this stops if I'm not balling. Like, exactly. all of this hoopla means yeah. nothing if I don't go out there and ball.
Yeah, exactly, bro.
You here yeah. now. Good things are going to happen. We're about to ball out on this live broadcast.
Mm, hell yeah.
Because of everything yes, you've done to this point.
Live broadcast is the Green Bay versus the New York Giants game. Green Bay Packers never been out here before.
Never.
You know, they were the one holdout, right?
Yeah. Because of Simon. They didn't want to play because Simon's here.
Right.
And
2-3-1 football teams.
Yeah.
The best possible matchup you could get out here for London, right? Right now.
I think it's a good matchup, bro.
Tell me, what are you thinking about this particular game? Where do you think is going to be won and lost?
Man. Tough question. I mean, I'm always biased towards the trenches.
No, it's always in the trenches.
It's always in the trenches.
Correct.
But, you know, I mean, I want to see a show. Everybody in the UK, everybody coming to the game wants to see a show. I want to see Aaron Rodgers doing what he does.
Mm.
And I want to see Saquon Barkley do what he does.
The stars.
And then I want to see Aaron Rodgers in the dirt. And I want to see the Green Bay lose the game.
Tell him.
This game's about body parts.
Okay.
It's about body parts.
Okay.
Hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
One team in blue is all about legs.
Okay. I know where you're going with this.
You know where I'm going with this.
I know where you're going.
We got a probably top three running back in the league right now.
Maybe, right now?
Yeah. Maybe
one. Number one.
Yeah, maybe number one. He's number one. He's fighting. He's up there. You know, yeah.
I'll take
number one. Yep. Okay. And he's on a mission.
Mm-hmm.
You got a quarterback that has a lot of heat on him,
mm.
but if he can run,
mm-hmm.
he can make plays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you got a kicker.
Mm.
Graham Gano.
Yep.
Who's money. Then on the other side,
mm-hmm.
you got that arm.
Mm. Mm.
You got that arm, that can harm.
Yep.
Yeah.
And all he has to do after Aaron Rodgers, after last game, he came up and said, we can't win like this.
Mm-hmm.
We can't win if we play like this. It always scares me when they talk like that.
Really?
It always scares me because the next week,
yeah.
what's the focus?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, what mm-hmm. are we going to come out here? Their defense can play.
Yeah.
Are we going to come out here and we got a ball out in the air mm-hmm. and Aaron Rodgers go out there and make it happen?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's what I like to say to situations like that. And it's Coach Coughlin's favorite saying, talk is cheap, man.
Yeah.
Sure. Aaron Rodgers, you can say all that stuff that you want to say. What are you gonna do about it?
Yeah.
Who are you gonna throw the ball to? Who? Who? Huh? You gonna go trade for Devontae Adams? You're gonna go bring him back? Romeo, like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
We can't win like this. How else are you gonna win? You can't. You don't have the receivers. You don't have the weapons that you had before. So what else? What are you going to do? You have to win a different way.
You think this is a fatal flaw with him that he is so aware of how he's perceived, stats, things of that nature. I mean, he's statistically one of the best ever to play interception to touchdown ratio.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that.
And the risk you have to kind of take, it has to be receivers you trust. The trust isn't there.
Mm.
Does he just let it fly?
You think he's going to do that?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't think he, to your point,
yeah.
I'm not sure. If he does,
mm-hmm.
they become dangerous.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They have a top five defense, right?
see Rashawn Gary just ridiculous. Body slamming people?
Ridiculous. But here's the thing, and I heard somebody say this, it must have been yesterday, and they were like, the last time Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl.
Big time defense.
They had a top five defense.
Boom. Mm.
So you sitting over here talking about we can't keep winning like this.
Yeah.
Right?
All right.
The last time you actually won
this
anything,
is what you did.
This is exactly what you did.
Yeah. The game is set up to have, if you can keep the game close and you got a dude that's a killer at the end.
Yeah.
That's the NFL.
That is the NFL. Mm.
You have a dude at the end in the last 3 minutes that can go out there and get it. That's the league.
He goes by like, you could almost... You got to follow the money.
Yeah. Mm.
Follow the money.
Facts.
Who get paid the most in the league?
It's in that little triangle. Yeah.
Quarterback. Yeah. Quarterback.
Triangle.
Dude on the end.
Whose job is it to get the quarterback?
Defense end.
Who gets paid? He gets paid the second most.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then who's the third person?
The guy that
offensive tackle. One blocker for the quarterback.
Boom, yep.
Boom. So you just follow the money. There's no question that the quarterback, the most important person on the field, he touches the ball every play.
In sport, I think the quarterback is the
most important person in any
Agreed,
team
unless
sport.
It's a one-on-one sport.
A team sport. Any team sport, the quarterback is the most important person. Has the biggest impact on the team.
Yeah.
So it just comes down to if those people show up. Man. Mm.
Yeah.
But then you've got Saquon Barkley,
mm.
who's, I would say, when healthy, possibly... best running back ever.
No! Get out of here. Listen, I love opinions, but I'm not letting you
ever?
Do that. Get out of here.
Okay, I get it. I get it, but come on.
Have you seen this guy, bro?
He got some quads.
He's sick.
600-pound squat, bro.
Yeah. I know, but Barry Sanders is unbelievable.
Yeah. Barry's
Barry Sanders as a pure runner.
Barry's
I mean,
different level.
Bro, I'm English,
the fear he put
that don't mean nothing.
Yeah,
you don't care nothing about that right now,
bro. When healthy, bro, he is unstoppable.
There's a lot of guys when healthy that were unstoppable that didn't play in the league. Long
okay, time. Okay, okay. Fair point. All right, I'm not gonna argue with that. I'm not gonna argue with that.
There's a lot of guys I beat out every year that was real fast, real quick, and that hamstring went.
Oh, you, night
night.
That's
night night.
Good point. That's a fair point.
JPL got a job again. Mama, we can buy that house.
JPL got a job again.
I'm back. Thought you was gonna get me, huh?
You was waiting. Your bag's already packed.
You know I'm dead serious, Aussie.
Hey, this is the same guy who said he had never praying on nobody downfall, huh?
He was just there.
I didn't pray on their downfall.
Wow.
And my mom already had her house that she bought.
Hey, when that dude was in there doing the deadlifts, JB was like, you can add more weight.
Yeah.
Of course you can add more weight.
Hey, after that, we should go sprint.
Right.
Man, you don't need to stretch. Right. Deion Sanders don't stretch.
Right. I'm talking about a bad performance. You out here wishing for somebody's hamstring coming off the bone.
This is gone way too far. When OC encourages me to keep going down a hole, I know we've gone too far.
Go ahead, man. Do those leg curls.
Keep going.
That's 20 crazy. And then sprint. You're going to be all right. We could do some sand running after that. Some sand and hill running.
They're going to be like, hey, Jay Bell, get it. He already going to have his tied up. He going to already have his swag up.
Hey, can I tell y'all
the story? Stomach hurt.
I learned this from.
Ridiculous.
First year in Dallas, right?
Yeah.
No chance I should have made this team. I mean, everything lined up right. I remember there was a guy came in and he ran like a 10-2.
Mm.
In college. Mm. So we, and that, you know, that's flying.
Yeah,
we called
him
10-2.
Yeah.
And I knew I was better than the dude, but you know, you fighting for that last roster spot or out of the, you know, the low end totem pole guys are really fighting for reps.
Mm. Yeah.
And everybody's 10-2, so everybody's like looking at him all impressed.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, you know, I'm out there balling, doing my thing. 10-2 had that hamstring. That hamstring got tight one day and I got all the reps. That was the last you heard from 10-2. Ooh, they like Jay Bell. Nah. And I remember 10-2 came back and 10-2 went out there and like made a mental mistake because, you know, he's just getting back. They like, Jay Bell, get out there. I went out there and was like, that's it for you.
That's it for you, buddy.
That's it for you.
That's it for you, 10-2.
Right. Hating.
Hey, man.
Hating,
Hey.
Okay, so
game this week will be great. I'm excited.
It's gonna be a great game.
Great, I'm excited.
But I think right
watch
now,
us. Everybody tune in.
Right now, we gotta talk to Karen. And I don't know if you know who Karen is.
Karen time.
Karen is
my 10 too.
Karen.
Karen is.
I've been following the podcast. I can't remember no Karen.
Okay. No, Karen is our friend's
Of ours.
Wife.
Yep.
Okay. Who says she doesn't listen to.
She's our friend too. They're both our friend, a couple, but her name is Karen.
Okay. She doesn't listen to anything when we're talking about sports. When we talk about football, she's nothing.
She's trying to get past.
And then when we get into the real life, real world situation, that's when she likes.
She turns up the volume then.
The culture wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything that's what we talk about.
So today, earlier today, I looked on my phone and I got a message. Really interesting message, right? Mm-hmm. Really interesting message. Our good friend, Kanye West, has on a shirt with the famous right-wing conservative Candace Owens, who I actually like.
Yeah.
And the shirt says, White Lives Matter. And the entire internet went crazy. Nuts. And so, as usual, we have to break that down.
Okay.
We got to break that down. Mm-hmm. We got to break down it. We got to break it down in all facets. Now, it's important to realize that none of us has the answer.
Yes.
We don't have the answer.
Nobody.
So everything is just real.
It's all just
thoughts, opinions, and we want to get to what we really think about the situation. And it's no hard feelings. There's no
conversation. Safe conversation.
Yeah. And so I had mentioned it earlier, and you had said something. As soon as you said it, I was like, no.
Okay.
Just wait. Yeah. Just wait so we can discuss it, because this isn't a one-off. This is literally what we do. This is this is exactly what we do, right?
Every time.
So you said
I said good.
Good.
Yeah.
Why did you say that?
Because, well, first of all, I'm not an idiot. I know Kanye West and his character. He's going to do something to get a reaction.
Okay.
So we can get that out the way. Mm. I understand that he was wearing a t-shirt to make a point, to say it, send a message to get a reaction.
Wasn't it something around his clothing company too? Is that why he was there?
It was a fashion show.
Okay.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But my initial reaction was like, it's a joke. Like, him wearing that t-shirt is a joke. Mm. But I didn't like the initial, the BLM, the Black Lives Matter t-shirt.
You didn't like that?
I don't like the phrase within itself.
Why?
Because I think the phrase highlights something that I've believed since I was young. I think if you go and look back through history, of course Black lives matter. They've mattered since slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Black lives have always mattered, and it doesn't need to be something that's reiterated if you truly believe it. You don't have to go off and keep saying it to everyone. I understand the climate, but I almost felt like it was a little bit, I felt like it was demeaning. And a little bit belittling, because, and I hope you don't mind me talking about
please
this.
Do, please do,
I felt that the initial movement came from 2020, George Floyd, the protest. I saw it happen, I saw the video, and then I saw protests on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw in that protest, Black faces, brown faces, white faces, every kind of face in America.
Mm.
And it brought me an overwhelming sense of joy to see all different people standing up for what I believe was a clear, overly aggressive
injustice
of police force. And everybody wants equality. It's the justice system and it's police brutality, if you want to say, but it's the actions that aren't being they don't see consequences sometimes. Historically, in the United States, police have gotten away with taking using excessive force. somewhere along the line, there went a message. There was a message that changed from, you know, fighting injustice to now overcompensation. And the overcompensation I felt was I saw it on social media and across, you know, all different platforms of 10 things you can do to help your friends of color and shop at this black-owned store, black-owned restaurant, shop here because we're black-owned. That it felt like a charity case, a case of charity. And to me, that was more offensive. And I don't get me wrong, I'm not mad at anybody because it came from a place of love. It all came up from a place of love. But we were, I think everybody just wants equality in how they're treated and the results of those who do anything against them. I think when we start getting into the, you know, when I see politicians kneeling in a dashiki, that's a little bit, I mean, come on. That's a little bit offensive. I mean, again, these things come from a place of love.
You find that
love.
Offensive?
I find it belittling.
It's
I find it a little bit like, it just, it's not even, I think it's genuine. I just think it's meaningless. I think it's like, I don't think anybody wants to be compensated. Nobody wants charity. Nobody wants to be compensated.
People do
want
charity.
I think people do want charity.
People do want compensation.
People do want charity. But people, I think overall, just want equality and equal shot at something or an equal outcome. I don't think that I can say to you, now you need to come and order from my restaurant because I'm black owned. Spend your money here because of the color of my skin. I don't think we're fixing anything. I don't think it helps the problem. And I think ultimately it hurts us because you know why I'm going to come to your shop? Because it's better than the other shop. And if I don't hold you to the same standard I hold him, then who does that help? You're not helping anybody.
If the world worked like that, it would be a beautiful place.
That's why football is a beautiful sport.
Yeah, it is.
Because we hold each other to the same standards.
The first part of your question, I'm in the same mind as Jack. Like, nothing surprises me that when people take advantage of a situation to bring notoriety, to bring attention. People do crazy stuff to get attention. Crazy stuff. So I expect certain people to do that. Doesn't even surprise me. Like, it doesn't even move me, OC, because I get the game. I understand. You understand the genesis of advertisement. And how it started, go back and look for yourself. You'll find a very interesting story in that if you dig back far enough where that came from. I'm not getting into that. You do that, you understand why people do certain things. It works. But when you think about any kind of activism, whatever it is, whatever it's about, the one thing activists need to do and activism needs to do is it needs to make something or somebody uncomfortable to force change. So whenever I see something, regardless of how I, regardless of what I believe in, and I can respond to how it makes me feel, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Because it's not about, OC always says it. How many different, worlds are there on this planet?
7 billion.
Right. You always say that.
Yeah, good, that's good.
I want to be comfortable in my world. But if something is important to you, and the way you're going about addressing it makes me uncomfortable, I got to kind of check myself. I have to check myself. When I look at any movement, and I look at, when you study this, I have to study the civil rights movements in the States because that's where my history is. My mom always reminds me of things growing up in school that now I have. And she's like, we fought for that. We fought for this. And I'm like, wow, whatever people do and however they fight, remember, it might make us uncomfortable. We might not like it. but it's right. grabbed attention, which right. could and should lead to some kind of change.
Okay. So, you have anything? Because I'm going to take like 5 minutes, so please okay. say what you
So, the change is the important part of what you were saying. And I felt what you initially said of the protests got the attention of the world, in fact, everyone in the world. But the change I felt was, I don't want to say hijacked, but it was somewhat misdirected by, instead of just fully looking at the justice system and the police force and how we can fix the problem there and them actually facing consequences for their actions, it was like somewhat curtailed to, let's help the black people. Let's help them. They can't do it by themselves. Let's help them out of this situation there. And that's just how it felt to me slightly after that movement. And I just felt that the phrase itself.
You have the when right I saw, to feel like
I know, and everybody's
you have
different.
The
I know, and
right.
I know.
And that's the beauty of it. To feel
people,
like
I don't
that.
Hold people but accountable. Not a lot. For it.
There was plenty of people that felt different. And all for sure. movements
for sure.
have a way of becoming and going in directions that aren't necessarily how it started.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if we are scared right. or we are intimidated or we are worried about that,
right.
nobody takes the first step.
Right. But what? Who's, I mean,
whatever
if
that
you
is.
Don't believe that the movement's going in the right direction, then, you know, I mean, I'm Who? Not saying it's your responsibility, but I'm not going to join that movement anymore if it's not going in the direction I want it to go. So I'm
Absolutely
not going to be on that train. And that's the only right. reason why I share it with you and you to say that.
Yep.
It makes sense.
I grew up in London.
Yep.
I like your
London's
perspective.
London's diverse.
Yeah.
You know I like what I mean? And I think a lot of people have opportunities. Now, inequality is still in London.
Mm-hmm.
It still exists. Inequality is all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
But people like myself have come up and taken advantage of every opportunity we've had, and I've been helped by all different types of people, and I have friends from
I'm
all different backgrounds.
I'm with you on that.
And for me, it's,
with you on that.
Yeah, it's more of, you know, just a reflection of my own experience, and I felt that it was kind of like, felt like almost like there was more of this like affirmative action
yep.
taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think affirmative action played a certain role after desegregation. And so you start bringing people together.
It's a very...
I don't want to go down too
well,
long
affirmative
route.
Yeah.
And I know OC got a lot to say, yeah, but I like, just felt the sense
You see
of,
the negative impacts of affirmative action being taken away in a state like California. Mm. You see colleges now that have an issue right now where they're trying to bring back diversity in the campus, and they want the politicians to put affirmative action back on the books because they're saying we are struggling trying to do it without it. There are top
right.
universities that
right.
are, this is what they are saying to their politicians now. So,
but you're taking away from the people who are, let's just you say, black people who have reached a position on their own merit when you give somebody else the same position as them because they're black.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I have a problem
because
with.
You're something else.
No, I'm just saying, and just for an example, right? Like, so it doesn't matter what you are, but if you are, and let's just say a coach or something, right? Or let's just say any job, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say a presenter.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say Jason. And we said, oh, you know what? We really want to have a black guy in here.
Mm.
And then you come to find out you've been this whole time you got the job only because you were black or because you were black. But they could have found somebody just as good as you.
Ask me if I have a problem with that.
Huh?
Ask me if I have a problem with that.
Do you have a problem with that?
Nope. Because I'm going to get in there and ball out.
Okay, but then the next guy gets the same position that you worked hard to get because he's black.
Or
because,
is he better than
because
me
he black.
When he gets there?
No.
Got to deal with it. Got to see
of
how
course
I feel
you
got to
deal with it, but I don't think that helps the collective.
Mm.
And if we want to talk about race, you have to talk collectively, which is unfortunate because everybody's different.
It
we don't
would,
judge
this
each other.
This would all work if it was really a fair system.
Mm.
I mean, they,
you know, That's Fez, the problem.
Fez, if there's 7 billion worlds, then
yeah. Fez, there's 7 billion.
Yeah. I don't know what fair means. Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's a lie.
That is true.
You just do what you just
that
play.
That is true.
You play the hand you're dealt.
Yeah. That is true. And, that is. I agree with
you
that.
You know, and that's just how my world. I see my.
But do you
mind.
Agree with the shirt?
what I find.
Give me one of them shirts.
what I find really, really interesting when thinking about or when talking about that whole situation was a conversation that we had maybe right after the George Floyd situation happened, right? This is me and Jason on our podcast. And you go back and look at this. Yeah. The things that are happening now, I by no stretch of the imagination am a genius, right? But it was common sense. It was common sense.
Yeah.
They say right now crime in America is exploding, right? Mm. In all these different communities, crime is exploding, right? Yeah. But when it happened, I said to myself, after thinking for literally 30 minutes, I said, oh, this is really an economic problem, right? Mm. And so what's going to happen is because nobody has addressed the economics of the situation, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to pull back. The police are going to pull back, right? Mm-hmm. And because nobody's addressed what caused all these things to happen in the first place, crime is going to explode.
Yeah,
I said this 2 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. And so now you see what's going on in terms of like the protests, because it's a cycle. It's repetitive. It happens over and over and over again. This isn't the first time we've seen this. And the reason why it keeps happening is because the poverty that's causing crimes, right?
Yeah.
Hasn't been addressed. Now, the reason why that hasn't been addressed is a very, very interesting reason. Very, very, very interesting reason why that poverty hasn't been addressed. And the issue really is black people are disproportionately poor, right? No question about that. By percentage, black people, much higher percentage of being poor than white people. But because there's a lot more white people in whether it's the UK or whether it's the United States, because there's a lot more white people, there are a lot more poor white people by number.
Yeah, just by number.
Just by pure number.
Just by,
And so you can't address the poverty that's affecting black people without addressing the poverty that's affecting the millions of white people. Can't do it.
Oh, okay.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
And they really don't want to address that.
And ask.
They really don't want to address that.
But why?
And ask yourself why.
Good.
And
capitalism.
Boom. Think about public policy, right? And then you finish.
You are right.
Think about public.
But it's big. It's big.
Think about public policy, all right?
Yeah.
We are all three at one point the highest tax bracket.
Yeah.
When change has to happen, and we say, and people say, we need to do this, does it cost money?
Hmm.
Right? It does.
Yes.
And where are you going to get it?
Yep.
You're going to tax.
Yep.
There's a lot of people that care about these issues. They really do.
Yep.
They really think this needs to happen.
Right.
They don't want to pay any more taxes.
Nope. That's an American. Well,
what actually, do you mean it's an
American? That's everywhere.
Nope.
That's,
it is everywhere.
They
I'm
don't.
Sorry. I've only worked in America.
They
so
don't.
I just associate
so
that
they
with
go,
like,
I care about this. Yeah, I don't want you to. I don't.
I'll take that back.
I don't want you to charge me more in taxes.
Yeah.
And to fix this problem.
Yeah.
I want to donate.
Yep.
I want to be charitable. I want to direct my money to where it's going. I think this is important. I'm going to donate to this. Now, we know if we want to live in a harmonious society, there are sacrifices we must take. That there are things that we don't want addressed that need to be addressed for the greater good.
Yes.
Society now is in this place where we think we can choose. We think we can make the best decisions for other people less fortunate.
Yep.
And to OC's point, to address the broader issue means I gotta pay more.
they won't do it.
Well, it's...
Look at policy. This is not an opinion.
Well, that's what I'm about to get to, though. It's so we're talking about...
Politics.
We're talking about a lot, bro.
So now...
We're talking about politics. We're talking about government. We're talking about how... It depends on who we're talking about. If we're talking about England or we're talking about America, because they are different.
They're different.
America was founded on...
We're talking theoretically.
Okay. Well...
So... Now let me get to the shirts.
Oh my gosh. What kind of...
You can't keep up, can you? This is daily.
I don't know what was going on. Right. Okay, go ahead.
Let me get to the shirts.
Yeah.
You'll never come back on the podcast, are you?
Of course he is.
I don't even... Am I on it?
What's going on? I don't know. Are we just talking?
I'm going to wake
up. Am I in the metaverse?
On the podcast.
That's crazy.
So, let me get back to the shirts.
Okay.
It all started with the shirts.
When I see...
He...
That shirt,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
White Lives Matter, right?
Yeah.
The reason why I look at it different, I don't think Kanye or even Candace.
Do you think capitalism?
I don't think they're seeing it when I see it.
Okay.
I don't think, because where I'm going to go with this,
okay.
I don't think that their minds have went like that.
Tell me.
Okay.
I don't think their minds have went like that. You see, when they say White Lives Matter, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's some people, oddly enough,
yeah.
that don't believe that black people can be in a higher class than white people. It can't happen, right? And for me, I see that as white supremacy.
Okay.
The feeling of feeling sorry for
yes.
all black people.
Yes, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Even though there's some black people right. who are actually...
Yeah. Of course.
And high up here.
If
right?
If they feel sorry, that's what I'm getting at. If you that's feel sorry you. For me...
Yes.
That is worse.
Exactly.
Worse than you saying you don't like me. If you feel sorry for me.
100%.
Because at least if you don't like me, you see me as a challenge. If you feel sorry for me... That's like you see me as...
A child, you're supreme.
Yeah, a child.
Correct.
Just like are there people you respect, though, you feel sorry for? Yeah.
Not. I mean, people you respect that you feel sorry for?
Yeah.
I don't know. But
go back to your point.
So when I see...
Your skin.
So when I see that, White Lives Matter, right?
Right.
I see it almost as a equalizer.
That's why I said good.
I knew you were going there.
That's why I said good, because I don't take it serious.
I knew
I think
you
it's
were
a joke.
Going there.
Of course you did.
That's why I didn't even,
right.
I didn't steal. You know how people, they be stealing people's takes? And now, you know, they be like, you know, you stole my take. I saw that on the show the other day. These people were arguing, going at it. I swear to you, the whole time, I was like.
You knew it, because you know how I think.
But I couldn't even steer my conversation there, because I was like, I'm going to steal his take, because I know. Yeah,
that's what I
now,
see.
Now, I think, this is so interesting, bro. You got, man, you're a trailblazer. Mm-hmm. You worked for what you have now, and you're still working. You don't even have to work.
Mm.
And you're still working because you're a trailblazer, and you earned it.
Yep.
Right? If there, some people, and I'm just sticking within the black community, they don't mind saying, you know, I haven't been given every opportunity.
Yep.
And I'm going to join this movement because I am owed, because I have less chance of, you know, succeeding than a white person.
You know, the most people
you
the
can
black
keep running
matters.
With that too.
You know, what color
if you want to go to black than a black American, well, let's go to an African American. Let's
see
what that
when you look at the movement. Like. Who are the most people in the Black Lives Matters movement?
You answer that.
White people.
Which was part of why it felt somewhat belittling. But I think it came from a place of love. But it was just the message in which, the way in which it transformed.
It made you uncomfortable.
It did. It made me uncomfortable. It made me uncomfortable because I only started to see that sentiment of someone who felt sorry for me. Mm. And you know what? My closest white friends... who grew up with black people, they said, they told me, they were like, bro, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
They were like, I don't like this at all.
Yeah.
And you think posting a black square is going to change stuff?
And you know the opposite? My closest friends were like, I need to do more.
Yeah. And also,
see the difference?
But here's the thing. Here's another thing, Jason.
It's interesting.
Here's something that happened to me. This is something that happened to me.
This is something that happened to me.
One of my closest friends is a white guy.
Yeah.
Right? Love him to death, right? And I grew up in Nigeria, right? But my father was well off, right? So I went to like the best schools, you know, two-parent household. Yeah. I was raised properly, right?
Yeah.
And I came to America. Things weren't so good in America, but because of the mentality that I had, right, it transfers because, you know, you have a certain... When you're raised a certain way, it's already instilled. Now, this guy... He won't mind me saying this. He grew up dirt poor, right? No father in the house. Doesn't even know his father.
Yeah.
You know, his mother, it was like struggle for him the whole time, right? Yeah. Yeah. Make it to the league. You know, I was a high pick. He was a low pick, right?
Wow.
I made real bread. Every year he was a struggle for him, right?
Yeah.
So when the whole thing happened with the George Floyd, he calls me.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, I just wanted to apologize. I was like, hey.
Yeah. Come on.
No.
Please.
I know you.
Yeah.
Right?
Come on, man.
Let's don't know.
And you know me.
This isn't happening, right?
Yeah.
This isn't happening, right? And so what I started to realize was there was a sense of supremacy in that.
It's almost worse, bro.
There was, and I was like, "Yo, it's."
But it comes from a place of love. It's
straight up.
You can never expect somebody who's not in your shoes.
You just made the best statement.
You can never expect somebody who's not in your shoes to understand what you've been through or what you're going through, and they're there for you as a friend. And I appreciate that. 100%. And I never lost sight of that. I'll never hold anybody telling me that they care about me and that they want to do what they can as a negative thing. I will never get offended. It was just the way in which, there's nobody to blame for this. Nobody is to blame for this. It's just what happened, because a white person cannot imagine what it's like to be black and vice versa. And that's where we're hitting a clash of, well, what do we do? What do we do? Where should we put our money? Where should we put our resources? How do we change things? Something's gonna change from the inside.
Yeah.
And police and the justice system, we can all work together to change that. But if we're gonna look at the metrics and start generalizing people and look at look at how the different races perform across the board, whatever, it's a black problem. It's gonna be fixed from the inside out. It ain't gonna be fixed from the outside. We can't rely on anybody else to fix the issues.
You can try to fix it from the inside, which they have. Right. But when you look at historically, when they have tried to fix it from the inside, what has happened to the leaders that try to fix it from the inside in America? What has happened to the leaders that have tried to fix it from the inside? They're no longer here.
I mean, that's not in their control. I mean, we can't just say, don't try because you're going to get assassinated. You know what I mean? These people, I mean, he's changed it.
To my point of
we
what
We're all changing Jeff, stuff
To
right
my
now.
Point in what you're saying.
Yeah.
Just because it makes someone feel this way.
Yes.
You have to do it. And the main thing, we do this all the time. We talk about this.
Yeah.
The thing about us all is we're so much alike.
Yeah.
We all really care about the same things.
Exactly.
Understanding we see it differently is the key, because now we can get on the same page.
Agreed. And that's why I don't
understand what it's like not to be athletic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is the
Well, maybe I do understand what
Jason,
like
the OC and Jack podcast.
man, we could have gone for another hour.
I know, but I see Simon over there. Simon's like, hey.
Simon's saying, I'm done getting paid.
That's enough.
Simon just cares about himself.
That was a long podcast. How long was that? Like an hour? Had to have been over an hour.
We got to do a part two.
Cut it in half.
Of course. We'll
No, I gotta make it for my family. No, I gotta focus on my sanity. Gotta have faith in my vicinity. Can't have you around moving timidly. I can see it now, how it's gonna be. Turn 100,000 to a memory. Now I'm getting paid with an enemy. I see you throwing shade, that's a penalty. Man, I know you people hate for my NFL. And I know you want me locked.